भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 16th चैप्टर Praise of King Prithu by professional reciters. Text 4. Esha. Translation. This king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best among those who are following religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheists. Please repeat after me. Report by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the duty of the king or the head of the government is described very nicely in this verse. It is the duty of the governmental head to see that people strictly follow a religious life. A king also should be strict in chastising the atheists. In other words, an atheistic or godless government should never be supported by a king or governmental chief. That is the taste of good government. In the name of secular government, the king or governmental head, king or governmental head remains neutral and allows people to engage in all sorts of irreligious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Instead, rogues and thieves are elected to be head of the government. But how can the people be happy without religion and... But how can people be happy without religion and God consciousness? The rogues exact taxes from the citizens for their own sense enjoyment. And in the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll flee from their homes and country and take shelters in forest. However, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy. The king of the state or the head of the state is actually like the father of the family. Actually, a state is a family. It's a bigger family. In a smaller family, the father becomes the head of the family. But actually in a state or in a country, the head of the state should be the father. And every citizen in the country should be considered by himself as his own children. The Sanskrit word for citizen is praja. And the word praja is coming from the root word prakrishta rupena jayate. Jayate means born. Prakrishta rupena, very specially born children. They are not actually born out of the father and mother as such for him. Now, he is not born of him and his wife. The citizens are not born of the king and the queen, but by some special arrangement, they have developed a relationship like that of that, like a relationship between, like that of between father and his children. So, that is the duty of the king. Like the way the father protects his children, the same way the king is supposed to protect his citizens. And that's why a citizen is called praja, prakrishta rupena jayate. And the way the parents are very concerned about the weakest child, the same way the king should be very concerned about the people, those who cannot really take care of themselves. In the Vedic society, that was the custom. The king used to give all kinds of protection, especially to the weak ones. And those who can take care of themselves, the king used to accept their assistance. And those people used to help the king also in all different ways, making money, administration, helping in administration, and so on and so forth. So that's why Vedic society was a very, very wonderful society. And it used to be very opulent those days. Nowadays, of course, India has become a poor country. But during those days, India was the richest country in the world. We can see that even few years back, if an Englishman wanted to become rich, he used to go to India. It is in order to discover India that Columbus went out and ended up in America. He wanted to find the waterway to India. And that's why when he went to America, when he found the land of America, he thought that he arrived in India. And he thought this was India. And that's why the American aborigines are known as the Indians, American Indians. Later on only, Amerigo Vespucci figured out, another sailor, he went to America and he realized that this is not India. And after him, Amerigo, America was named as America. So, we can see that how everybody was eager to have a trade relationship with India. And no one wants to have a trade relationship with a poor country. Everyone wants to have a trade relationship, business relationship with a rich country. And not only that, it was economically opulent, it was culturally, philosophically, spiritually, in all respects India was very, very opulent. In order to receive knowledge from India, the Chinese scholars used to walk across Himalayas. And it's not easy to walk across Himalayas. It's very extremely cold and the journey used to be extremely arduous. Many people used to die in the way. But they were so eager to receive knowledge from India that they used to take that risk. So such a wonderful country has been totally destroyed because they are not following the Vedic culture. India should not be a poor country. India should be a rich country. But because they are not following the Vedic culture, they are losing their opulence. The opulence comes from Lakshmi Devi. Or even if we take it to a more apparent source of opulence, the opulence comes from nature. And when nature is pleased, nature provides the opulence. And when the nature is displeased, then nature withdraws. Like describing about Prithu Maharaj, the condition of the world during the time of Prithu Maharaj's reign has been described that nature was giving everything in abundance. The fields became full of fruits and vegetables and grains. The cows became full of milk. The mountains became full of gems and minerals. Gold and silver. So everywhere there was opulence. And this is a gift of nature. But now that the people in India have rejected Krishna consciousness, that's why nature has withdrawn. And nature is becoming more and more severe for them. Just the other day I heard that there is big drought in India this year. Like somebody told me in Zusul the other day, one Indian man, that he just read in a newspaper from India that this is going to be the worst drought in 100 years. There's never been a drought like that. And drought will lead to famine. When there is no rain, there won't be any food grains. So it's, I can see that it's just nature's arrangement. Krishna has given the instruction very, very clearly. Annad bhavanti bhutani, parjannad anna sambhava, yoggad bhavanti parjanna, yogga karma samudbhava. Human, the living entities survive by eating food. Annad bhavanti bhutani. And food is produced due to rain. Parjannad anna sambhava. Parjanna means rain. Food is produced due to rainfall. And rain comes due to the performance of sacrifice. Yoggad bhavanti parjanna. And so that's why a human being should perform yagya or sacrifice. Now in this age, in the age of Kali, the yagya is sankirtan. Yagya is sankirtana prayoi. But in India, people are not accepting this process of sankirtan, yagya, or Krishna consciousness. So that's why there is no rain. I mean, it's actually a science. Everything falls into the right slots. Right, and the understanding is very clear. Anybody who read Bhagavad Gita knows why there is a drought in India. And I think Krishna is preparing the field for Krishna consciousness now. Maya is smashing them. Material nature is smashing them. All their opulences have been withdrawn. And now they don't have any food to eat. And I think that's the time that we should go out and preach. Chant Hare Krishna and rain will automatically come. And then when the rain falls, they'll say it's a miracle. And then they will take to Krishna consciousness. They want to see some miracle. Otherwise they won't accept it. So I was actually, when I heard that, I was quite enlivened. That let them suffer. Actually nature is smashing them. Like a teacher smashes or beats up a disobedient student. So nature is trying to teach them a lesson by punishing them this way. But Prabhupada said ultimately everything will be good for Krishna consciousness. And if India take to Krishna consciousness, then everything will flourish there and automatically the whole world will take to Krishna, or at least receive Krishna consciousness more seriously. Nowadays the world is not taking Krishna consciousness that seriously because the Indians are not taking it seriously. In the West especially, I notice people say, well, yeah, I spoke to Mr. So-and-so and he said that this is another way of Hindu culture. The Sankirtan movement is one branch of Hindu culture. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a prophet, like Sai Baba or so and so forth. Such rascals. And when they hear things like that from Indians, they take it for granted. They think, well, he's an Indian, he knows. But little does he realize that these Indians are not at all Indians. They are just a bunch of rascals without any understanding whatsoever. And we can see that how bad the leadership is. It's all because of the bad leadership. If the leader is good, then he will direct them towards Krishna consciousness. But when the leaders are rogues and rascals, when the leaders are demoniac, then they will teach people, teach the citizens, how not to accept Krishna. And that's exactly what is happening. In the name of secularism, they are preaching atheism. They're saying that we are secular state. We do not support anybody, any religious faith. And it's very, I mean, when I think of that, I mean, I feel very disturbed. Because those people are so demoniac, and it's so apparent that how demoniac they are. Like, last time I was in India, I met some big government official requesting him to give permission for some Western devotees to stay in India permanently. Not many, just 50. So the 50 devotees can stay in India permanently. And then his answer was, we can't, because ours is a secular state, and if we give you that facility, then they will say that we are being partial to the Hindus. And then the Christians will ask for that same favor, Muslims will ask for the same favor, and so on and so forth. And I felt so upset. I just told him, don't you have any discrimination? Can't you figure out who is a friend and who is an enemy? And these people are trying to help India, and you are rejecting them without even considering, without even trying to find out what they are actually here for. Anyway, that's why they are suffering, and now they'll die in thousands and millions, and then probably their eyes will open. And if then their eyes don't open, then there'll be a war. The war is imminent. If they don't take to Krishna consciousness, there'll be a war. Prabhupada himself predicted that if there is a third world war, it'll start from India, between India and Pakistan. And then it'll spread all over the world, and India will have the worst of it. It'll be smashed into pieces. And it's natural. If they don't take to Krishna consciousness, Krishna will smash you. But if they take to Krishna consciousness, then I can see that India will become the most glorious country in the world. Anyway, I mean, we are not concerned, we are not attached to any particular country or land. We are simply attached to Krishna. Wherever Krishna consciousness spreads, we are attached to those places. And wherever people reject Krishna, we reject them like plague. And here it says, actually Prabhupada is quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, description of the age of Kali. It says, the rogues exact taxes from the citizens for their own sense enjoyment. And in the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll flee from their homes and country and take shelter in the forest. So the only solution is Krishna consciousness, and otherwise there is no hope for this world, no hope for this age of Kali. And of course we have to have the conviction, the faith, that Krishna consciousness will spread for 10,000 years. Mahaprabhu, it has been predicted, at least Prabhupada said, that for 10,000 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, there will be golden age re-established in the middle of the age of Kali. So it is guaranteed that it will happen. So with that faith we must push on. The way Prabhupada had faith in Krishna's prediction that the holy name would spread in every town and village, and he simply acted on that conviction. The same way, we should have the full faith and conviction that the golden age will be established for 10,000 years, and we must push on with that objective. Let us try to establish the golden age. And how the golden age can be established? By the Sankirtan movement. devotees should not be too concerned about their maintenance. That is, Maya always takes care of that. Material nature takes care of that. Actually, Maya means material nature. When somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, material nature provides him with everything that he needs. Mahamaya, Durga, another name for Durga is Annada. Anna means, everyone knows, Anna means food. And Da means the giver. She is the giver of food. And she is also, another name for her, another name of Durga is also Annapurna. She is full of food grains. She is full of food stuff. So why should we worry about food? And another example about that is that Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga. And Durga is Annapurna. But Lord Shiva is going out with a begging bowl. Right? So it's a paradox. Like, his wife is the giver of all the food grains and all the opulence, but Lord Shiva is begging. Why? Because he's a devotee. Vaishnavanam jatha sambhu. Lord Shiva is a devotee, so he doesn't care about how much Annapurna his wife has. And he begs, why? Because he goes from door to door to give them Krishna consciousness. It's not that he needs food or money. He is Ashutosh, he is fully satisfied. But he goes, devotee goes from door to door just to give people Krishna consciousness. If we go to people as a king, then people will not be able to listen to us. They'll automatically become envious. But if we go to people as beggars, then they'll take compassion on us. And they'll say, oh, this man is so... And this man is worse off than I am. I am better off than him. And then if you give them Krishna consciousness, he'll feel more relaxed. And also when you become too opulent, when our mood is too opulent, then we also tend to become arrogant. So devotee, he maintains a very humble mood. Devotee doesn't need anything. Devotee has everything. Prabhupada so often said that just push on Krishna consciousness movement and everything will come. A wonderful example regarding that is Srivash Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Srivash Thakur and his brothers the instruction to chant Hare Krishna all the time. And they had, with big wampas, they used to have huge kirtan. And it's actually because of their kirtan that the Brahmins of Mayapur reported to Chand Kazi. They could sleep at night. They became very, very upset. And so they went to the Chand Kazi and begged him to stop them. And Chand Kazi went and broke the mridanga and told them to stop Sankirtan. And this Srivash Thakur, when he was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the holy name all the time, so he questioned Mahaprabhu, then how shall I maintain my family? And Mahaprabhu said, don't worry, I'll take care of that. And they say that food used to come flying into the house. Another example is Mrigari. When Narad Muni told him to give up hunting, Mrigari asked Narad Muni, if I stop hunting, then how shall I survive? Yeah. Narad Muni said, don't worry, I'll take care of that. And Mrigari used to have so much food coming to him that he started a food distribution program, food relief program. So devotees don't have to worry about maintenance. Money will come. Everything will come. If we serve Krishna and if we believe that Krishna is God, then I think we at least have to have this much of faith that Krishna will provide. Lakshmi Devi will provide. But if we don't have faith, But try to get Lakshmi, then Lakshmi will become Maya and will be the cause of our fall down. You must remember, in the past, many devotees actually fell down because of acquiring Lakshmi without Krishna. So we are not concerned so much about Lakshmi, but we are concerned about Krishna. So when you become concerned, when you serve Krishna, then Lakshmi automatically comes. We have such a wonderful example, Prabhupada. He went to America with 40 rupees. 40 rupees is how much? Those days it was only about $6. And Prabhupada went without any support, without any help, and started Krishna consciousness. And in 10 years' time, Prabhupada built 108 temples all over the world. And Prabhupada said he didn't even cash that 40 rupees. So that's how Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. If we become serious about our spiritual life, money will come. Just the other day, Rohini Sutta Prabhu was telling me that Frank Sinatra met the Pope and confessed to the Pope. Oh, he wants to. Oh, I see. Oh, he died. Oh, I see. So, he wanted to confess to the Pope, and as his fees, he volunteered to pay him $250 million. So, if people are volunteering to pay $250 million to a person like Pope, who cannot really help him? So what to talk about if we spread Krishna consciousness, the genuine religious principle, all over the world? Then at least I can say that money will come flying. Anyway, I'm sure you all are aware of this fact. Prabhupada has mentioned this points time and time again in the books, and all we need is Krishna consciousness. If we become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will give us everything. So thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And I will request you all to please take this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Keep on endeavoring in a spirit of unity. That is very, very important. Prabhupada, time and time again, Prabhupada reminded us, your love for me will be shown how you cooperate with each other. Actually, when we can't cooperate with each other, then we must understand that there is some defect, some fault. And where does any fault spring from? that stops us from becoming Krishna conscious. And that is our false ego. Krishna consciousness means Krishna conscious, becoming conscious of Krishna. And false ego means becoming self-conscious. Instead of becoming conscious of Krishna, when you become conscious of ourselves, then it is false ego, then it is Maya. Because false ego is the first thing in the material platform, the first layer of material nature. When you fall down, false ego is the first thing that covers us. So if we want to get out of this material bondage, then false ego is the thing that we have to become free from. So we should be concerned, be careful, not to become too much affected by our false ego. Let us cooperate. After all, we don't have anything to gain in this material platform. The only thing that we have to gain is Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. And everything else is secondary. Everything else is. Especially if it is detrimental to Krishna consciousness, then it should be rejected. So with that spirit, we should carry on cooperating. Because when you cooperate, then you produce a tremendous power. If we are alone, then we are weak. But when we are together as a group, then we are very, very strong, very, very powerful. And then no one can do it. Maya cannot do anything to us. So that's why Prabhupada emphatically reminded us of cooperating with each other. And never leave ISKCON. There may be some trouble, maybe some problems, maybe some conflicts of interest. But no matter whatever happens, never leave ISKCON. And I thank you all again and again that you all been very kind to me, gave me a wonderful association, and I will look forward to see you all again. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any question? Yeah, it's because, you see, the land India is a dharma kshetra. And Prabhupada is saying that in dharma kshetra, when you do some pious activities, then the result is multiplied by 1,000 times. And when you do some impious activity, sinful activity, then also the result is multiplied by 1,000 times. Now when in India people are becoming sinful, the result actually of their sins are multiplied by thousands of times. And that's why they're suffering. That's why the reaction is so intense. Whereas in the West, although they're even more sinful than the Indians, but the result is not that bad. They still have some opulence. But actually ultimately this so-called opulence will become the cause of their suffering. What is their opulence in the West? It's only industrial development. And if there is some crisis, they won't be able to eat their products of the industry. As Prabhupada used to say, they can't eat nuts and bolts. Right? And not only that, if there is some crisis, it'll hit the West so bad. Like, can you imagine if there is no electricity in the middle of winter? You know, if in the West, you know, most of the food is actually imported now. Because of good transporting system, the food is imported from different corners of the world. You get kiwi fruits from New Zealand, and pineapples from Singapore, and all kinds of things coming from all over the world. But if there is a war and there is no supply, then there's going to be a big crisis for food. And at least in countries like India, people are getting used to the crisis gradually. Like in Calcutta, people become used to, they call it load shedding, right? No electricity for hours together, right? Everything comes to a standstill, right? But life still goes on. But in the West, people cannot tolerate it if it happens. And it actually happened in New York in 67, I think. There was some electric failure in New York City, and everything just went berserk. The crime rate increased by about 100 times, and, you know, looting, all kinds of things are going on. And then after that, because there was no drainage system working due to the lack of electricity, the whole coast became full of stool. All the piling up stool for so many, only for 3 days or so. And not only that, when the machine started to work, then instead of clearing the garbage, they started splashing the garbage in. You know, all kinds of crazy things were happening at that time. And you can see there's so much, they're depending so much on electricity and other artificial things. Like, can you imagine? I mean, if there's no electricity, and all of a sudden if there's no electricity and the whole, you know, like, say you're in the middle of a tunnel, you know, in an underground train, what's going to happen? How are you going to climb Empire State Building or World Trade Center, right? 140 stories. So apparently it seems that everything is so nice in the West, but actually Maya has this plan, or her plan. Ramananda raised his hand before. Well, I'll try to come back around 20th of December for the Christmas marathon. My original plan was to come during the middle of January, but. Because in Calcutta also we have Christmas marathon. So. We go longer. Also, another consideration, of course, I had is, like, if the situation in India is so bad, like if there is a big famine, and then probably I'll stay there and stay there. I think that will be wonderful for preaching. You can go out and tell them, chant Hare Krishna, and, you know, like, we can have nationwide Sankirtan, Harinam, you know. And also, this is a good time to distribute food. So I have to, anyway, my tentative plan is to come back around 20th of January. Huh? I'm sorry, 20th of December. Rida Chaitanya Prabhu is actually pushing me to come back. Purnatatta Prabhu? Yes. Yeah. So too much of everything is bad. There's a nice shloka regarding that. It says, Oti darte hata lanka, oti mane cha kauravam, oti dane balir baddha, sarvam attanta garhitam. Says, due to excessive pride, Lanka was destroyed. Lanka was the capital of Ravana. Ravana was extremely proud. So due to his excessive pride, Lanka was destroyed. Oti mane cha kaurava, due to excessive vanity. Man, you can say honor. Due to excessive honor or excessive vanity, the Kauravas were destroyed, Mahabharata. Duryodhana and his brothers were destroyed. Oti dane bolir baddha, due to excessive charity, Bali was bound. Right? So excess of anything is bad. So that should be rejected. So excess of water also is bad. Then there's a flood. Right? And also rain, what actually they're not depending on rain for their food. Right? Not locally at least. They're with the rain, what they're growing. Although there is rain in the West, but they are just growing corn to feed the cows, and so that they can eat their flesh. That is, and here it rains even in the middle of the ocean, although there is no sacrifice. Right? But in the West, soon people will realize the reaction of not performing sacrifice. Probably they won't, here there won't be the lack of rain, but there will be excess of fire. When a war breaks out, it will be fire everywhere, right? So, people, those who are not performing sacrifice, they are in a very, very dangerous situation. And those who are performing sacrifice, they are fine. They are happy when they are alive, and they will become even, they will become ecstatic when they leave their body. For a devotee, it's all auspicious. I couldn't get the question. There are a few ways, there are some ways of doing it. One thing is that when you feel that false ego or maya is attacking you, just pick up Prabhupada's book and start reading. Open anywhere and start reading. And that will immediately pacify your mind. Right? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you beat the mind with brooms and sometimes with your shoes. So mind is a very nasty thing. So to control the mind, you have to be very strict with the mind. And if nothing works, then just start chanting Hare Krishna loudly, as loud as possible. So we have to conquer our negative feelings by positive Krishna consciousness. If we become Krishna conscious, then there won't be any problem. And if you become Krishna conscious, then all problems will be solved. Yes. Yeah. Do they think that when you wear sari, do they think that they are hippies? Because I never seen hippies wearing saris. So wear a nice sari. Nice silk sari. And they won't become envious, because sari they can't relate to. If you wear a nice gown or a fur coat, then they'll get envious. But when you wear a nice sari, sari actually is very dignified for ladies. And it's very opulent also, silk saris. And another thing is, you see, had we been going out for last 20 years in saris and dhotis, then people would have accepted us. But since last 10, more or less for last 10 years, we stopped going out in dhotis and saris. That's why, you know, people cannot relate to that. You know, they don't see us so much. If they saw people in sari, but they're very nice people, then they would immediately think that anybody who wears a sari is a nice person. So, actually, these are external.